What is that?
It's a little Irish tune.
I'm going to put the theme song back on. You are Irish, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm eating these roasted salted almonds that Joe and Cheryl gave.
That's against protocol. I don't think you're allowed to eat on the air.
I'm not.
You're breaking all the rules.
Quiet back there, Duke. Get back to the soundboard.
Speaking of eating, you and I went to went to Subway. Indianapolis, but we're at Station WBRI in Indianapolis. This is a great town. I love Indianapolis. It has, like, a Walmart. There's a Walmart here. There's a Subway. There's
first
a
signs
Pozzoli's.
Of civilization when you have a Walmart.
There's a Pozzoli's. Our favorite place is the Subway.
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone put more spinach on a sandwich than you have. You told the guy, give me all the spinach you got.
That's right.
And he had a bin there.
Yeah.
It was like somebody emptying a grass catcher. What he put on that sandwich of yours. I mean, you had chlorophyll on your lips when you were finished with that.
And
I
look good now, don't I?
Yeah, you do have a healthy green glow about you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We were talking about justification.
Yes, we were.
And who wrote us? Debbie from Australia?
Debbie from Anchorage, Alaska.
Anchorage, Alaska.
Australia's down under. Alaska's up over.
I remember I had a couple... I had a couple of things I was going to say about that.
Yeah, her question was, what was the difference between justification and being born again, which is a pretty smart question, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and to me, but I kind of changed the whole thing. I brought it to justification versus pardon.
Yeah.
I kind of threw out the born again thing, because there is such a difference, as we said, between being declared righteous by God and being pardoned.
Exactly. The gospel is not, and I hear this all the time, and I was trained on this, that people say, come to God and he'll forgive you. He'll forgive you. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. But the gospel is not about forgiveness. The gospel is about justification.
Which gospel?
The gospel, the grace of God proclaimed by the Apostle Paul. Paul is our apostle. It's to his letters we must go for truth for today. Not that the Bible's not true from cover to cover. We read it cover to cover. Leviticus is true. Exodus is true. Song of Solomon is true. But truth for today among the nations is found in Paul's letters, and Paul proclaims a message of justification, which is far more than forgiveness.
You can't get out of justification.
Yeah.
Justification is a declaration of God.
That's right.
To me, the startling word, I just wrote about this in my newsletter. Can I put a plug in for
newsletter? Put your plug in for your newsletter.
I write a newsletter called The Clanging Gong News. Sign up for it, folks. It's at www.martinzender.com. Anyway, one of the last newsletters, I talked about how startling it is to think. To me, the word righteousness is a theological term. It's really hard to understand what it means. We're made righteous, or God declares us righteous. And it shocked me to look at the root word of that word, which is right. To me, that's a more startling word. If you picture God looking at you and saying, you're right.
You,
you know, Dan,
you can't,
you're
can't
right.
Be that simple if you're a theologian, because they wouldn't pay money for the tuition to come to your Bible college. You can't
I have to talk Christianese.
You do. You do. Remember, Paul says it's by their smooth words or their fair speeches they delude or deceive the hearts of the simple.
Somebody once told me, Martin, you remind me of the Apostle Paul. What do you mean, my faith, my dedication to the word? No, your speech is contemptible.
Yeah, sure.
Paul said that about himself. But anyway, but the think of God saying you.
I
know you make faces every time I start to take the mic. But when God says you're right, that's far more startling. I think I mentioned this before, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I did here, but it's God says you're right. He looks at you and he says, you are right. You are right. That brings it home to me. You're righteous. That sounds like a theological thing. But when God says you're right, everything you do is now justified. I mean, that's a startling doctrine, because we still make mistakes. And yet even now, while we're making mistakes, God declares us right.
And
that's
here's
justification.
The key to that. It's not out of you. It's nothing that you are. It's something that Christ is. That's the key to it.
Yeah.
We are just, and just to give scripture here, Romans chapter 3, Paul says, and this is where you might say that Romans 3:21 is the beginning of the gospel or the evangel of the grace of God. This is where it's first expounded. Romans chapter 1, we see that the Gentile is under sin and can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Romans chapter 2, the Jew is under sin and can't do anything about it. And Romans chapter 3 says the whole world is all messed up. Now, what can you do about it? Absolutely nothing. It's when man has proved himself, the Gentiles back at the Tower of Babel and the Jews throughout the whole period of the Mosaic Law, it's when man has proved himself to absolutely can't do anything about sin that God, through Paul, brings out the evangel of the grace of God. The Gentile had the knowledge of God and creation, completely failed. The Jews were given the Ten Commandments and the ceremonial law. They had the visible presence of God with them in the tabernacle and later in the temple. And even with all those outward privileges, man was under the power of sin and could do nothing to get about, out of it. Now, we can't point the finger at the Jew and say, well, we're better than they are. No. They show us. The nation of Israel shows us that man, at his best state,
mm-hmm.
with all the privileges around him of a visible religion, would still crucify Christ.
And in fact, that's the backdrop here in
Romans
3:21. He brings out the law. He says, yet now, you were probably going to read that. I'm stealing your thunder
here. Go ahead.
Yet now, apart from law.
That means apart from you and I doing anything.
Right. You know, do you think here that he's not only talking about the Mosaic Law?
That's why,
because
that's
he doesn't
why
say
no article.
The law.
That's right.
Right.
If he meant Moses, it'd be the law.
The law.
It's law and it's a principle. Any kind of system that man sets up, a system of works,
right.
apart from law of any kind.
And people don't even realize there was law in the Garden of Eden.
There was.
There was. One law. Don't eat from that. You see that tree over there?
Exactly.
Don't eat from it. That was law.
Uh-huh.
And so any law of any kind, that's the backdrop, because if you have a law, as you did in the Garden of Eden or with the Mosaic Law, you can fail that law. And that's where pardon and pardon and forgiveness comes in. Wherever there can't be even the concept, correct me if I'm wrong, I won't be, but I'm just saying that to make you feel good. There can't be any forgiveness unless you have an offense. And you can't have an offense unless there's law. Did you catch all that?
I don't know. I'm eating.
I know. Pay attention to me. You can't have forgiveness unless you've offended, unless you've done something wrong.
Yes.
And you can't do anything wrong unless there's a law. If there's no law, there's no sin. Am I right?
Yeah.
And so the law came so that mankind would sin. And so the whole struggle with any kind of legalistic anything, whether it's the tree or whether it's the law of Moses, the whole struggle is we're trying this, we're failing. We're trying this and we're failing. And God in his mercy says, you failed. I'm going to overlook the penalty. We're going to let you off the hook, but you better toe the mark or we're going to, you know, and
yep.
You're always under probation with the law. So
and
now
God is no probation officer.
That's right. But he was under the law of Moses. He presented himself as a probation officer. And many people that are listening to us probably are still under this illusion that God is a probation officer.
And you know what the problem with that is? Is having the mentality that God is a probation officer, those listening who have that view of God actually think that there's something in them that's good enough, that they can right their wrongs. The last thing a sinner needs is a second chance.
Why do you say that?
Because if you and I were, as sinners, given a second chance, we'd only foul it up.
Once again. Yeah.
Over and over and over and over. That's why Paul in Romans 7 talks about a man under law, not an unbeliever, but a man under law, trying to please God in that system, cannot do it. It's impossible.
And the over and over and over and over thing sort of brings me to the sacrifice, the yearly offering, over and over and over and over. And the remarkable thing about Christ's sacrifice was once for all time.
Once for all time.
And so it's against this backdrop that startling to anyone who knew anything of the Jewish culture or the way God used to operate, now apart from law, a righteousness of God is manifest. That's startling as it is to read that God needed to show himself righteous.
Yes.
What's your take on that?
Well, my take is interesting. If you notice in verses 21 and 23, in this opening of the evangel, the grace of God, the message we proclaim here, first thing in Romans 3:21 to 23, first you learn about God, Then you learn about Jesus Christ, and then you learn about us. And that's the right order.
That's the right order. We're the caboose.
So in the evangel, the grace of God, the gospel, the evangel is not about you. It's not about me. It's not about sin. It's not about sanitation, as Enoch said, right?
Yeah.
God, the evangel is not about sin or sanitation. It's about what God has done and what through his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The evangel is about Christ, not about us.
That turns the whole thing around.
But the ministers today make it all about you, what you've done, what you're not doing. You got to do this, you got to do that. But here it starts off with God. First, we learn about God, that he has a righteousness.
This is what Paul says in the first verse of this letter, Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, a called apostle, severed for the evangel of God. Concerning his son, verse 3. It concerns his son.
You know what's interesting about that word,
not
concerning?
Me.
It's a Greek preposition, P-E-R-I. And we get our English words today, perimeter, right? Like the word perimeter or periscope. And it has the thought of a circle, right? So if you want to think of God's good news, draw a circle and put a dot in the middle. And that dot is the Lord Jesus Christ. The evangel is centered, circled around the person of the
Son. Oh, man, that takes all the pressure off me totally.
Yeah,
he's in
him.
The center, not me.
And so what do we learn in Romans 3 where he expounds this evangel? First, we learn about God. He has a righteousness.
Right.
It's not our righteousness. It's not our doing right. It's God doing right.
It's just so different to hear that the righteousness of God. Why does God need
now,
to prove himself righteous?
Well, what
righteous?
Does it say here? Yet now, because we want to answer Debbie's question here. God's righteousness is manifest, right? Yet a righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith. It's not our faith. It's not what we've accomplished. It's God's righteousness through Jesus Christ's faith.
Christ's faith was the channel through which we see the righteousness of God.
Exactly.
And no one would have seen it because since God's invisible, he doesn't hang around much. We don't see him. He demonstrates his righteousness through his son hanging on the cross. That's the only way we can see it. But it takes a gift to see it at the cross, because to the Greeks, the cross is foolishness to the worldly person.
So first we learn about God.
Yeah.
He has a righteousness. Two, it's through Jesus Christ's faith. So we learn about Jesus Christ. And finally, we come in. It's for all and on all who are believing. That's where we come in.
And that's
we
us.
Come in. What do we do? What have we done?
We're the cleanup crew.
We don't clean up anything.
We don't even clean up.
We just believe it.
We just, thank
because
God
because it's an
for
accomplished
it.
Work. There's nothing else we can do.
You can only be thankful.
That's right.
That's to be our continual state is a state of thanksgiving.
And so here's the appeal to those listening to this program. We are not here talking about another religion. Notice there's nothing mentioned about a church, about tithing or offerings or repentance or baptism or any of that other stuff. It's all about what Christ has accomplished. And you come in by believing, and even your faith. If you believe this message, thank God, because your faith is a gift of God.
That is good. That is really good.
Are we done
thanks
already?
For saying that. Thanks for.
If you have
I never get tired of hearing it.
Anybody have any questions? This is Dan Sheridan. My web address is paulsevangel.com. And the phone number where you can reach us, 847-312-4676. And Martin?
MartinZender.com. Good to be with you all, and we will see you again tomorrow.
So long.